Thanks, Michael. It's a pleasure to be there.
Well, mates, gee, you've had a long association with Devonport over the years. Exactly how many years have you been involved with the club?
Michael, I've been involved with the Devonport Club for 53 years.
That's incredible. That's incredible, mate. And what do you do now? I mean, obviously not playing, because you and I are in the same boat. It would be quite embarrassing if anyone saw us play cricket or footy, but what do you do down at the club now?
Just a volunteer, a bit of a dog's body, mate. I do whatever they ask me to do or needs to be done, and I don't mind doing it.
So let's talk about your career and how you got started playing the game. When did you first have an interest in playing the world game of football?
At school, there was two periods of time where you could play sport. Wednesday afternoon we played Aussie rules, and Saturday I played soccer, and finished up playing soccer for the rest of my life.
The other sports like footy and I guess every kid you'd tinker with other bits and pieces, but what was it about soccer that actually sort of captured your imagination?
I think a lot of my friends started to play soccer, and I sort of just stuck. We had some coaches at school level that were passionate about the game, and it just rubbed off.
Tell us about some of those coaches that you had, who those influences as a young man.
Yes, Ernie Arnsby was an influence. Bill Lum, Bob McMillan was another one. They practiced in a combi van at school and drove us around in the combi van, a whole team, and we just kicked on from there.
So were they critical in establishing your understanding of the game and I suppose showing that support? Because as a young kid coming through the ranks, you want to believe that someone has your best interests at heart. They were obviously really good at that.
Yeah, very much so. As I said, they were passionate about the game, and they were good people, very good people.
So how did you end up getting to Valley Road? You would have played some high school competition, or you would have played some competition somewhere. How did you get to end up playing down at that wonderful complex down there?
Well, first off, we didn't really have a home, Devonport. We played at Byard Park for a number of years. We played at St George Oval over at East Devonport for two or three years. And believe it or not, we were out at the Sproaten Racecourse, where we got changed in the horse stalls for a number of years.
Wow.
And then the council found us this piece of land down here at Valley Road, and it was swamp.
Yeah.
And they had to get in, and they drained it and manicured it, and this is what we've got here today, a very fine complex, one of the best in Tasmania, if not the best, and a better facility here than a lot of the mainland teams have.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and of recent times, the soccer club has had some wonderful success. When you first went down there, even though you weren't playing at this particular venue, but were there people in the early days, were there the same guys that took you through the high school, or were there different people at the Devonport Soccer Club, used to be called Devonport City at one stage, were different people that arrived on when you arrived that were able to help you?
Yes, they're all tight-knit community, the soccer people. You know, when I played, it was only mum and dad and the girlfriend that went along to the soccer games. But now we have a crowd of 600, 700, 800 here Saturday now, and it's really blossomed.
And the club's gone through a bit of turmoil too, and we'll come to that a little bit later. But did you play many games in the lower grades before you ended up getting started in the number one team?
Yes, back in the early days, there was player shortages and that sort of thing. So it wasn't unusual that I played two, sometimes three games in a day. I played in the under-18s and reserves and sit on the bench for the seniors.
Was there a culture back then that that soccer was not the game that Aussies play? I mean, particularly in the early 70s and all that sort of thing. Did it have a bit of a stigma to it?
No, it was wasn't everybody's cup of tea. You know, Aussie rules was the king of the time, and soccer was the poor auntie or poor uncle, and so it had to build its reputation from that, and has done so over a period of time.
Can you remember your debut for Devonport in the first team?
Yes, we played against Burnie Spartans back in those days.
Yeah.
And a bloke by the name of Mike Denton played for him, and he played for Australia.
Yep.
And he was one of the best players that I could ever come up against. He could turn on a sixpence.
I had Mike Denton on this program in this slot going back a number of months ago, and he remembers the Northwest Coast with a lot of passion. And I think he's only just recently, over the last few years, gone to Western Australia. But he seems to have left his mark right across the Northwest Coast as a real sort of champion of the game.
Yes, very much. He was an excellent player, fine player. Wasn't very tall, but he was skillful, and he scored many, many goals.
The clubs had many coaches over the time, Bestie, but who do you think had the biggest impact overall and left a legacy that sort of still works around the walls of the club now?
I think the first imported coach. We were the first club in Tasmania, or probably nearly Australia, to import and employ a full-time coach. And his name was Steve Darby.
Yep, remember Steve?
And Steve, I remember meeting him at the airport, and I was expecting a 6'3" midfielder. and I was sitting at the airport, and everybody had gone, and there was this little bike weeds I stand over the corner. He come over and he says, "Oh, Mr. Best." I said, "Yes." And he says, "Oh, I'm Steve Darby, and there's a 5'7" goalkeeper." And I thought, "Oh God, what have we done?" but he was excellent. Although he was good when the ball comes to the ground, but in the air he was a bit sus. But they called him, he got the nickname as Dracula, because he was just afraid of crosses.
that's amazing. Like, I can remember Steve Darby, and he's I guess putting the game at like an international coming in or an overseas player, sorry, coming in and making that impact. We'll talk a little bit more about all of that. Just stick with us, Bestie. We'll take a break and we'll come back. My very special guest is Peter Best, a real legend of the Devonport Strikers Soccer Club. Welcome back to the Sideline View. My special guest is Peter Best, who played somewhere in the vicinity of 600 games for the Devonport Soccer Club. An amazing feat by Peter, I'm sure, a life member, and has done everything at the club. We're talking about Steve Darby just prior to that, and bringing some people over. What about the local people? Like, I know that Gordon Rimmer was involved quite a bit at the club for a long period of time. Gordon certainly must have put in some hours down at the club.
He was president here for a long time, a number of years, and he was instrumental in bringing out our overseas coaches like Bob Oates, who come out from Scunthorpe, and Phil Ashworth, Chris Gallo, who was our coach this year but has left now.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Coughlin, all world-credentialed coaches, world-class, and this has set the legacy at the club here now. It's we're at the moment searching for another coach to come and coach the club, a very successful club, I might add, over the last 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, it's been amazing, hasn't it? Just before we move on to something else, you as a player, Bestie. I know that being a local cricketer, and we always kept an eye on what everyone was doing in other sports, etc., but you seem to be a mainstay. Tell us, describe the type of player that you were, because you played down back as a defender, kicked a few goals occasionally, but not too many. You're a defender. Tell us a bit about how you went about your business.
I played in the central defence of Devonport, centre-half. Nothing fantastic. I was a good, honest player. Gave 100% every game and got success from it.
Yeah, it's difficult to talk about yourself, and I understand that. But just tell us a little bit about who is probably the best player, the best teammate that came through during your time playing top level soccer in Tassie.
A very good friend of mine, Billy Frame, he had blonde hair. They called him the blonde bombshell.
Yep.
He was instrumental in scoring many, many goals. Tom McKenna.
Yep.
And Harold Patterson, who was an excellent player, and Ken Morton, who coached us, now coaches South Hobart.
Yeah.
Spread at South Hobart for a number of years. He coached here for 2 years. He was instrumental in helping me bring out George Best.
Yeah, I was going to mention George Best. Yeah.
Yeah, to play an exhibition game here at Valley Road, and it was one of the biggest crowds ever to attend a soccer match. I reckon we had about 4,000 people here.
And I'm just doing some notes here. I think there was the match 2-2 draw. So he was a wonderful player, and of course I think he had an organ transplant, didn't he? Georgie Best might have had something with his liver, because he used to give the grog a bit of a tap, but
Got him in the end.
But that must have been a great time to be involved with. That was 1989, so that must have been terrific. Yeah. To be around. Did that give the sport a bit of a boost?
Most definitely. The buzz around the town, around the city was just phenomenal. It was just, everybody was talking about it. And something that come about of nothing, and we were able to pull it off.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Now let's talk about a fire that destroyed the club rooms in 1975. Damage back then, $350,000. I mean, what were your initial thoughts when you'd heard that that the club had been damaged in that way?
It was devastating. We just didn't know what to do. It was just traumatic. And it was just that the committee at the time was one of the best committees you'd ever be involved with. Decided, we'll push on, and we were lucky enough to get a grant from the government to build these wonderful facilities we've got here now. But the family owned a laundry at the time, and we had a laundry van. We still had the games here. The ground was all right. And I remember loading up both teams in the back of the laundry van and taking them down to the sports centre to get showers after the game.
Yeah.
So it was just everybody was just magnificent. The visiting teams understood the hardships we were going through, and it was just business as usual.
And you would have lost quite a bit of memorabilia out of the club too. There'd be some precious things that you'll never be able to get back, I guess.
Lost everything. Mm. Yeah, the photos, lots of memorabilia. But, out of the ashes, something else grows, and you kick off and you start it again.
And you've been able to watch the club really turn itself into a powerhouse. I mean, you'd have to say that. I mean, to take on the Ken Morton trained teams from down in South Hobart and some of the real strong competitive teams. The program down there, Peter, must be tremendous to bring in juniors. You've got to have juniors to keep things going. But the program must be fantastic.
Yep. No, we have a good relationship with the junior competition here, and a lot of the kids are now just flooding through the gates to come, and we've got the coaches to do it too now, so we in a very, very strong position.
Did you have a crack at coaching yourself?
Yes, I coached the women's side here at one stage. Mm-hmm. My two girls played soccer here. So, you know, Raylene, my wife, she was a committee member and a president. And, coached the Div 1 side, three consecutive premierships, the Div 2 side to a premiership, and a couple of under 18 sides.
Yeah.
And then when I retired, I took up refereeing. I enjoyed that. That was all right. I was sorry I didn't take it up earlier.
Yeah.
But, anyway, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, look, and we're always looking for referees, umpires, whatever sport you play. And good on you for actually doing that. And I guess when it came time to call it quits, Bestie, the old legs won't do what they want to do. Was it a tough call to call time on your playing career?
No, I was ready. I was just turned 40. It was our last game at Somerset.
Yep.
And they were having a barbecue for everybody after the game for a few eats and things there. And I was sitting there and I was having a beer and I was thinking and I thought, nope, this is it. So I picked my bag up with all my boots and token powder and everything and threw it in the incinerator.
Did you?
That was it.
That was it. Ashes to ashes.
Ashes to ashes. Burnt the lot.
Was it. Wow.
And I haven't missed it. I was ready.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's right. Sometimes there are some sports that you can sort of keep on as an involvement, but when in a game that demands quite a bit of you physically, run and chase and do all those sorts of things, when you know that your time's up, so it's amazing what sort of triggers off in the mind.
The playing wasn't a problem; it was the training.
Yeah.
But anyway, that
commitment issues. You had commitment issues at the end, and a lot of wonderful athletes do that. Bestie, it's been great to catch up with you. A lifetime almost at the Devonport Soccer Club down at Valley Road. As I said, over 600 games, goals, coaches, premierships, an amazing career, and it's been really fantastic to have you on the sideline view.
Thanks, Michael. Just happening down here at the soccer club now, we've got another grant of $3.5 million. We're pulling down the grandstand and putting up new 700-seat on top of the bill grandstand and change rooms underneath. The kitchen's having another $70,000 spent on it, and solar going on the roof for another $20,000. So it's all systems go down here, mate.
Yeah, no. Look, and Drew Smith's doing a wonderful job as well as the president. I've spoken to Drew a few times, and very excited trying to get an A League get it to A League standards so that the club can host A League games. And wouldn't that be just the pinnacle of what you've been trying to achieve down there?
Exactly.
Well done, Bestie. Thanks for jumping on.
No, no props.